Hello, and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness. It's the 4th of May, and yes, we've been off the air for a little bit, but that's simply been because it's been so busy. There have been so many things happening. Time is just very difficult. And of course, I did do that interview quite recently, which seems to have been well received. So that's great. So there was something in between the gaps. So we're ready to go now, and the two main points, obviously, since we last spoke was obviously the tragedy at Notre Dame, and it was a tragedy because that was an iconic building, regardless of whether you're, like cathedrals or not. The fact is that it was very much a part of Paris. Some of the interesting comments that have come through in relation to President Trump's tweets or alleged tweets in regard to the Notre Dame. There were a couple of comedians who obviously didn't really understand what was going on, and they were trying to make a joke of the fact that Trump had tweeted saying, quick, get water on it, and it's important that you act quickly. And these comedians were saying, well, obviously you put water on it, and they were just trying to make fun of it. But the point is that if we believe that the fire at Notre Dame was not what we have been told by the official authorities, then we should assume that nearly all of the major leaders would also be told by their security services that it wasn't quite what the public were being told. But maybe there are only one or two people on the planet in high positions who are confident enough or independent enough to make a comment. And I think that what's coming out now is the delay that occurred between the starting of the fire and anybody actually doing anything about it. And what's interesting is that President Trump seemed to be aware that there had been this delay within hours. And he, in fact, sent a tweet saying, you've got lots of water in Paris, why don't you use that? And he sent a tweet of a bottle of Perrier water, or three bottles of Perrier water, which of course most people were deeply offended at. But if he believed that somebody was involved in it and deliberately, then he was saying that the authorities' response to it was not what it should be, and hence he was just poking fun. He also used Gematria code on one of his tweets, and when you convert the code down, it translates into the words of Emmanuel, I see you. And of course the president of France is Emmanuel Macron, and in secret intelligence services parlance or speak, the I see you is something used very often. And if I think back to 2012, when my car was run off the road, and it was run off the road by a white van, and it was a company van, and the logo on the van was literally just an eye, like the all-seeing eye, and the words around it of I see you, which doesn't mean that President Trump was running me off the road. This was a company, and is a company, and if you just Google search it, I haven't looked for a number of years now, but they actually prided themselves on recruiting ex-FBI, ex-CIA agents, and it's a private investigation firm, it's a private security firm, they do investigations. So a lot of these people have various types of mind control, and they are private agencies. So the words here, I see you, really mean something, and it's quite clear that President Trump is making a very hidden or guided reference to who he believes was responsible for it. Far from preventing the riots, the yellow vests in Paris, it actually increased them, simply because all of the private companies started offering huge amounts of money to rebuild Notre Dame. Not, I suppose, because they care about Notre Dame, but they want a little plate up on the wall that says this company built the chancellery, or this company built the nave, or we put a new door in here. So, they are looking at aligning themselves with this iconic image of a cathedral in Notre Dame. I think it's a great tragedy that it burnt down. I understand that There were some very strong reasons for it burning down, and I don't accept the official line at all. So that's one thing that's occurred in between our period where we weren't on air. I think most people look at it and they just shake their head, and they're not taken in by it. Isn't it strange, of course, that there are so many people, not just in Africa or India, but in the Western world, who are going without medication, they're going without a proper home, they really can't afford to live, and yet these private companies are prepared to offer huge amounts of money, millions of pounds or dollars or euros, to rebuild a religious object. Yet people on their own doorstep are struggling, and this is the inequality of the system that we have presently on the planet. Okay, that's enough of that. Let's talk about something really, really important in terms of not a fire. The situation with President Trump, and you would have been watching the Mueller report, and the Mueller report absolutely cleared President Trump of being in collusion with Russia. But there was an argument whether he was obstructing justice, and that was an argument. And if you were able to catch the news, the guy called Barr, his name is he's the I think he's the Attorney General, and I think his name is William Barr in the US. He was called to the House to give a testimony, and he did give some testimony. It could have been the Senate, actually. I think it was the Senate, actually. I think he's refused the House. I think the House has asked him to appear, and he's refused it. But I think he went to the Senate and appeared. And what was very interesting was that he talked about the Mueller report, and the some of the senators there said, "Well, you know, we want the report without all the black lines. It's been redacted. We want it without the lines." And they put a subpoena in to get that, and basically the White House has refused. And the reason that these people want to know the full report without the blank lines through it is they want to know who's about to be arrested. It's a really important point. There are so many black lines through the Mueller report because there are people there named who are on an indictment list. This is not the same indictment list we've been talking about for months now. This is a different indictment list. And there are people on that. And the reason that some of these politicians want to get hold of it is they desperately want to know who's about to be arrested. Now, what President Trump was saying was that there had been an illegal investigation into him, a spying operation by members of some of the FBI. And other agencies while he was running the election campaign to be president, and they had tried to smear him. In fact, he said it was almost treasonous. Well, the Inspector General of the United States, excuse me, I think his name is Michael Horowitz, he's doing a report, and it looks like that this report is actually going to name people who, surprisingly and not surprisingly, are no longer part of the FBI or any of the agencies. They've all moved on. But if it does, as I think it will do, show that there has been illegal spying on the president, then that will be a very serious matter, far more serious than this report into to Trump and whether he was colluding with Russia. If it's shown that a government agency was illegally spying on its president, and it's called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. If that's been used illegally, then this is a very serious situation and will put a huge amount of pressure on the anti-Trump media. So watch for that. And I've been told that that's going to come out in about June. So that report could actually have people up in court for treason. Now, I don't think they're going to have their heads chopped off, but they certainly could do 20 to 25 years in prison. So that's quite a big deal on that one. The other point, of course, is Britain is sort of involved in this because Christopher Steele was an MI6 agent. He's retired, and he was in charge of the Russian desk with MI6. And, of course, as is publicly known, that Hillary Clinton's Democratic campaign paid him to do a some detective work on Trump, and that's now looking very suspicious as well. So it isn't just going to be washing dirty laundry in your local wash house. This is going to actually spread across to other places as well. So watch for that. So that sort of is the main news that we would need to keep an eye on. Did talk about potential earthquakes for the US. I sort of talked about May. Other people have talked about June. Still no further information on that. So we're keeping our eyes on that. In terms of connecting consciousness, we have a coordinator in South America, and they have a few members, but could do with more. So if you're listening to the show and you are interested, please get in touch through the website, and we can put you in touch with your coordinator for South America. All right, that's fine. What I'd like to do now is to go on to the questions. Hopefully we've got quite a few to get through. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Hi, Simon. And this is from James. What is the best way to reactivate all of our DNA? Also, do you have any preferences to foods that help activate this DNA? Thanks.
Everybody's different. So unfortunately, I can't just give you a coverall. Everyone is different based on their makeup and based on the DNA strands that they're trying to work with. If you think about eating meat, when an animal is killed, it has terrible trauma, regardless of whatever we're told. So if we eat meat, and many of us do, that will actually slow up, doesn't stop, but it will slow up your ability to develop your spiritual and compassionate side. It does affect, you're taking that trauma into your physical body. So that does affect your rate at which you can bring the DNA in. So I can't, unfortunately, give you an overall answer. Somebody who is, say, a fairly strong Palladian-souled person will need to operate differently from someone who's got an Arcturian-type soul, or a Cyrus or Sirius-type soul. So I can't say that to you. The only way is if at some point we get a chat and you can talk to me, and then I can look and see, the sort of soul that you've got there, look at the type of work you're doing, and then maybe try and help you with it. So it's a good question, but unfortunately it's one of those questions that they can't just give you an answer and then off you go with it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Haker says, Dear Becky and Simon, thank you for your great work. Question. I recently had hungry ghost visitors who wanted me to read the Bhagavad Gita for them. I did. During that, I mentally saw a black figure watching me intensely. He was slim, male, sharply outlined, pitch black, wearing a suit, no emotional or mental energy, just silent watching, neutral. I looked back for a while. He turned away without moving anything, later slowly floated into the distance. What is the silent black watcher and his interest? He didn't evoke real fear, but I do need to know. Thank you. Love and light from Germany. Heike.
Thank you, Heike. The two key points there are it floated away and it didn't have any emotion to it. You said that it had a very sharp outline, which initially made me think of what we call black ops. The special operations teams have this capability, and they would normally appear with a sharp outline. However, the other two points, floating and no emotion, we don't associate with human operators. So I think on balance we've got the traditional shadow man, although he's not decided to turn up in a hat for you, he's decided to turn up in a very physical human form. The silent watching is exactly what most of them do. Very rarely do they actually interact with an adult. Their role is normally to interact with children. I've clearly said that I've had experiences of these things before, So it's a fourth dimensional entity. The reason they're black is because when they come into this environment, into this reality, all of the light from our world is sucked through like a black hole. There's no light reflecting off a black hole, so it's black. But if you were to go the other side of the black hole, you would have a blaze of light coming through at you. So if you were to go to where this creature originated from, then instead of seeing a black outline, you'd see a brilliant white outline. So that's what we're looking at there. It means someone's watching you, it means someone's observing you, someone from the fourth dimension, which could mean either a reptilian interest or a grey alien interest. But that's all I can tell you from what you've said. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Stuart says, "Hi Simon, I watched an interview that you did on Age of Truth TV entitled ET Alien Masters. One section of the interview really caught my attention, and I was wondering if I could ask your opinion on it, please. When the agent for the Knights Templar asked the following question, 'When you see the future, do you see the future as individual pictures or a video that rolls out?' In your opinion, why do you think that is important to the Templars? Kind regards, Stu."
Okay. It's funny because quite a few people have asked me that question. It's because they're curious whether it's through the Akashic Record connection or through DNA. If a person can access the Akashic, or then they're operating them differently than if they're accessing their own DNA memory. If a soul in a person has millions of years of life incarnating time and time again, then the organic brain will only potentially remember this lifetime, but the DNA will have memories within those many, many lifetimes, but it won't be a complete unbroken memory. It will be in penny packets. But if you can open a connection to the Akashic, then you can draw down the history that you're looking for, and it's a continuous seamless rollout of information. I think what they were looking for in my case was I accessing Akashic, was I accessing DNA soul memory, or was I accessing both? And that's why it was important to them, because they then would have a better handle on who I was. Thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you. Clarissa says, "Hi, I'm Italian. I'd like to know when the memory transmutation will end, and if, when the planet jumps to the fifth dimension finally, the human beings of the fourth will die or cannot co-inhabit with the others of the fifth. Thank you, and sorry for the grammatic, Clarissa."
No, it's fine. Thank you. I understand what you're saying. You're asking, first of all, two questions. One, you want me to give you a date. When we transcend to the fifth dimension, and all I can say is in our lifetimes. So, 20 years, 30 years, some point before that. So it's in this lifetime. Very exciting, really exciting. Think of all the lifetimes many of us have had on this planet, ups and downs, and then here we are in the time of choice. It's a fantastic experience, and it's really exciting, and I hope every one of you is really living every day and making every moment count, because this is a really special time. That's the first question. The second question is, it's not death in that sense of the word. It's not about fourth dimension, it's about people who's value-based, or the energy that they are sticking with, we would term negative. Now look, we all have negative energy, but there is a point where you have so much negative energy for some of these people that it puts them, in a different ball game. Now for those people who decide not to make a choice about who they are and how they react to the people and the planet, then they won't move up to the fifth dimension. That's an absolute given. Because if we accept and understand that the Earth is female, and we accept and understand that it's a mother nurturing being, and it lives, and it is going to move because it wants to evolve, because it's a living creature, and it wants to take with it everything and anything on its back that also is going to be compatible with its energy when the transference is completed. So it can't and won't take something with it that's of a different frequency to it. In fact, although it's not a physical barrier, if your frequency is set at a certain level, you will not pass through that barrier. You will not be able to do that and go into a higher dimension. So I don't want you to imagine that the Earth is actually preventing it, but the Earth is setting a standard for itself, and it's moving its physical self through into this new energy world. And the life on this planet has to decide whether that's what it wants, or whether it wants to stay in this paradigm. And many people will wish to stay in this paradigm. It doesn't mean they're bad. It just means that they were fearful of embracing the new change, what some people call the new Earth. They were and are very frightened of any reality other than the reality that they construct for themselves within a very narrow field. And that's just the way they are. So we're not talking about death, we're talking about life. Thank you for the question, and thank you for listening to the shows.
Okay, thanks. Angelica also asks, on a recent interview you mentioned a Templar rep asked if when you've been on a spaceship you see the future in picture format or in video, and you never mentioned which format you actually see in the future. I'd love to know. I think and feel this is important. Thank you.
Both. I saw both still pictures. So if you were to take a drawing book and you would turn one page at a time, although that's not a very good analogy because that now makes me think of the Akashic Records as a book. So if you think of one image that disappears and then is replaced by another image, that is more likely to be DNA cellular memory. If you see something playing out as a video, that's more likely to be Akashic, because it's connecting, because time doesn't work as we're taught. So the Akashic is both in the past, the present and the future. I saw both. And it was interesting that when the guy asked me, I took three attempts to answer it over the course of 2 days, simply because I'd seen both. And my first answer was, you know, that. And my second answer was, well, actually, I saw this as well. And then my third answer was in the car park on the following morning, it was this and that, both of it. And I think he'd already got it by that point. But they were just keen to find out what sort of person I was. So thank you. And that's the second question, actually, yeah, on that. But I do get asked that a lot. That's the answer. Thank you.
Okay, Harry says, how do you keep a connection with the source when in a stressful or uncomfortable situation?
Divide the question. If you are in a 3D world, as we all are, and we have stresses and strains, your connection to source isn't broken. What happens is the conscious mind becomes embroiled in, you know, I'm late for work, or, you know, this, that, and the other, and the connection to source doesn't appear important to you because you're in a physical body and you're dealing with physical issues. The point is to be able to always know that you're connected to source, because we are always connected, and if we choose to feel that connection, when we get angry or annoyed or distressed or upset, whatever it might be, these are emotional connections of a physical nature which have no bearing on source connection, because that is coming through on an energy field. So that's the first one. The second one is that when we are demonically attacked, or non-demonic, like the Orion Greys. I had a client this week where the Orion Greys had put an Orion cube over her head to disconnect her or reduce her connection to source. Then that's an attempt to break your connection through to source. A gifted person will always be able to utilize the connection to source and negative forces fear humans because of our connection to source. And so what they'll try and do is use a form of technology to isolate that individual from source. And there are ways of getting around that. That's why I work with that client. But that's my answer to that. So your connection to source under 3D system doesn't ever break, but you are, you know, you, and I don't mean you as you, I mean you as us, we can allow ourselves to be so taken up in the 3D world that it's no longer, we're not thinking about it consciously, and we're just thinking about this issue, and we become less spiritual because we become driven by matters that actually aren't as important as, you know, they're sold to us as. And if we just stop it and go back and remember that we are connected to source, that often is quite a good balancing act. And that's completely different from an alien force attempting to physically, energetically isolate you from source, which, remember, they shouldn't do, but they have free will to do it. But then you have free will to resist them, and you have free will to break it. Thank you. Good questions.
Okay, thanks. David says, "Hi Simon, it seems that 5G is coming fast to Sweden, and I heard rumours of commercial use beginning as early as next year, 2020, and it is already up and running in some places for testing. If we don't manage to stop this, or meanwhile, while it is active before it is stopped, what can we do to protect ourselves?"
Right.
There's more, but we can...
Okay, at the dates you've been given are wrong. It's going to be much sooner than that. So that's the date they give you. You know, if in the old war films, you know, you were going to attack an enemy camp, you'd put out radio broadcasts saying we're going to attack you on Wednesday, knowing the enemy would listen to you, but you'd attack a day earlier. And that's what's going on here. What's actually going to happen is it's going to be operated at a low frequency for many months. So 5G will activate in many Western countries at a very low frequency. In actual fact, it will operate at no higher than 4G is already operating. And that will be for many months while they run test after test after test. They then will gently ramp it up. Now, if we believe that 5G is harmful, and if we accept that a number of organizations are in the know about this, then they're not going to go from 0 to 60 and have lots of people turning up at hospitals. They'll do it gradually in the hope that it's not recognizable and not known. Now, you know, why have I come out against 5G? Well, I've come out against it because of the information I've seen. And, you know, the whole of Germany, it's a big country, Germany, something like 70 million, 80 million people. They've placed a moratorium on 5G. That doesn't mean they're banning it. It means they've stopped it temporarily while they try and take some independent professional points of view on it. We know that in France, Wi-Fi is banned, never mind 5G, Wi-Fi is banned from all of the preschools. We know that the city of Brussels has banned 5G. So what is going on here? Why is it there are people in some countries or cities that A, seem to have a concern about 5G, whereas people in a neighboring country are oblivious to it? And B, how is it that these people are strong enough or feel confident enough to put a ban on it, even though trillions of dollars have been spent on it? So maybe we've got different lawmakers in different places who are backed or more independent than others. So the problem for me is that 5G has not been sufficiently tested, and that the medical bar, the level of bar raised, it seems to be so high that basically anything is allowed. Whereas I think when in most other cases, like drugs, for instance, you know, there have to be clinical trials, and they test to see how they go, and they have a minimum and a maximum. And you know, that's the dosage rate. Well, nobody is sort of looking at the dosage rate from microwaves. You know, when you open a microwave oven and put something in it, it has a device to stop or reduce those microwaves coming out. But here we have technology that is using a microwave system with no form of coverage. So for me, there are too many unanswered questions. There hasn't been any empirical science done on it. And you know, what's the harm in putting everything on a moratorium for 3 months and taking independent information, not sponsored and paid for by the very companies that have trillions of dollars to be made from 5G. Let's get people on who are experts in their own field, who are, you know, not paid for by these organizations, and let's hear what they have to say. Why is there a fear of that? So my concerns really are for Europe. Certainly I'm fearful for Great Britain in terms of this being rolled out without the proper safeguards, as far as I'm concerned. I don't have too many concerns for the United States of America. I think that what I'm picking up on now is that there are enough people in the White House who are fully aware and are taking some very interesting steps. So, you know, I think people in America are very blessed that there are a group of, I think the term is white hats, I don't tend to use that word, but there are a group of people who are fully aware and are working on something, whereas in Europe, where we're still very much under the control of the old guard, you know, we have that. I mean, let's, I want to just qualify that. I mean, we know that President Trump was due to come to Britain, Great Britain, in December of this year, and he's brought it forward. It's coming forward in, it's coming in June. But he's not coming to see the British Prime Minister. He's coming to see the Queen. And that's quite interesting, because you'd have to ask yourself, why wouldn't a president of the United States of America want to sit down with the senior politician in Great Britain and talk business? Why would he want to come and speak to the Queen? And the reason is that he doesn't like the British Prime Minister, doesn't respect her, and believes that he can do business with Her Majesty the Queen. Now, regardless of what your views are either way, the fact of the matter is that the President is coming to speak to the Queen. Maybe he thinks the Queen's going to be around a lot longer than the British Prime Minister. Maybe he thinks that he can get more sense out of the Queen. I don't know. But the reality is that there are a number of leaders in Western countries who, quite frankly, are not there to help the ordinary, average man, woman, and child. They're there to maintain the status quo. And the sooner these people go and are replaced by far more compassionate leaders, the better. Thank you for your question.
Okay, thanks. There's a bit more. And how will this technology affect us physically, mentally, spiritually, or in any area of our lives that you're aware of?
Well, if you go on the website, simonparkes.org, there's a very interesting a video that we posted on behalf. What was it, the guy's name? Gary?
You mean Sasha Stone?
No, not Sasha Stone. The guy who did that fantastic 5G...
Mark Steele?
Mark Steele, that's right. Sorry, not Gary. Mark Steele. If you look at that and you watch that video, so that will explain much of the questions that you're asking. So, you know, the best way to educate yourself is to not go to the private companies who are involved in putting all of this stuff up, but go to people who are experts in their field. I'm not, but certainly if you go on the website, you'll find a very interesting article on 5G there. And I recommend you watch that. Thank you. Hello, and we're back again. As you can see from the change of attire, there's a different time here. We were three quarters of the way through the last one, and suddenly the camera just went blank. I don't know how, you know, our technical expert's going to cut this, but we were literally on the point where I had mentioned we'd had a lot of interference the last week. We had a lot of problems with the computer. And then at the moment that I was saying how difficult it had been, suddenly the camera just went. Now, the computer didn't switch off. We didn't have a power cut. Just actually the camera went. So I stopped the recording, set the recording up, went ahead. We did another 30 minutes of that recording, only to find later that none of that had been recorded. And I don't think that's a coincidence. There was no other reason for it. It's the first time in years that ever, during a recording, the camera's just been switched off, and then all the recording after that just not taken. So we're doing it again. We're half-minded to let this go out and just leave it like that, but we thought, no, you know, it's not fair. We want to do the extra half an hour. So let's see if we can get this done without this then being turned off as well. All right, Becky, thank you very much. Now, I can't generally remember what the last question was, but if you know where you're up to, maybe we can go on to the next one.
Hi, thanks. I think it's this question that we had started off with, the second part that had not recorded.
Right.
So, Dr. Marcel says, "Dear Simon, I'm a lawyer, researcher and author from Germany. Last year I published my book, Greys, Worldwide Activity and Abductions in Germany, only in the German language, in which I assessed 40 years of abduction research and compared it with the results of my German ET contact cases. As a hypnotherapist, I had for over 2 years contact with reptilians via channeling. This led me to research MK Ultra and satanic ritual abuse. I will soon publish a book in which I explain the connection between both. In a second part, I will reveal the reptilian influence and the communication I had with them. I would appreciate it if we can get into contact and you can exchange information. Best regards, Marcel."
No, happy to do that. I can't remember if this was the excuse me, if the question we were half through when we got so rudely cut off. So I sort of vaguely remember that we started this question. I'm reminded of Mary Rodwell in Australia, who had done regressions and worked with children, and then through the experiences that she had, I don't think she was a channeler, but through the experiences she had, she began to build up quite a good medical professional piece of evidence, and it sounds to me that you're doing the same thing. I think the key way you're taking this is the understanding between what I call the old magic, which the reptilian elite passed across to give tools of the trade to those left behind to control the ever-increasing number of humans, the ordinary people. And that's the point, that number of societies through history have attempted to control their populations. And in the old days, it was through magic or these sort of mind control tricks. Now, of course, it's through advanced technologies. And there is undoubtedly a link between the satanic ritual abuse and the reptilian agenda, and of course the elite human agenda, or some of the elite human agenda. So we're very happy to liaise with you, very happy to talk to you. I think what I said last time before we got cut off, or when we got cut off, was that I would try and find your email and I would respond to you. Thank you for getting in touch.
Okay, lovely, thank you. The next question is from Matthias, who says, "Hi Simon and Becky, thanks for a brilliant program. I have questions about the Van Allen belt. It is said that the Van Allen belt is a radioactive belt surrounding our Earth and that it is impossible to pass through. Yet we hear stories about human colonies on Mars and on the Moon. Are the stories about the Van Allen belt another lie to make us believe that we can't leave the Earth? Or is there really such a radioactive belt surrounding the Earth? If so, how is it possible to pass through it in order to create colonies?"
Okay, so I do remember this one, and I gave quite a good, what I thought was a good answer to it, and of course that's just gone to the trash, hasn't it? Because we just got rid of all that. I probably can't do such a full answer now, this time around. The Van Allen belt really is quite an interesting construction. When you pass through the Van Allen belt, you are subject to very dangerous energy waves, radiation, light waves, whatever you want to call it. And what we've been told in the past is that the Apollo spacecraft were capable of traveling through space to the moon. And I think that there must have been a large number of very professional scientists who would have looked at the construction of the Apollo craft, excuse me, and the construction of the astronauts' spacesuits, and perhaps, you know, considered the relevance of the chances of protecting against radiation. In other words, the thin metal of the Apollo craft and the construction of the spacesuit probably not best suited to keeping a biological body from being overtly fried by radiation. So there was always a debate amongst people on the fringes: how was it possible to enter this period of space without being severely weakened? And I actually think that there was a trip to the moon. I really do believe in it. I think that the astronauts certainly did do that, but I think they had another device to ameliorate the effect of the radiation. Some commentators refer to alien spacecraft as being anti-gravity. That's actually incorrect. A spacecraft is not anti-gravity. It utilizes the gravitational fields of a particular body. And just like a surfer on a surfboard can go up and down over the waves, so a gravitational device like this can propel or repulse a craft depending on how the units within the craft are moved so that it can travel. And right back in 1947, when the first term flying saucer was coined, the spacecraft were akin to someone skimming a flat stone or a pebble across a river, because they move like this, because they go up with the gravity, and then as they come down and they reactivate, and they travel like that, skimming stones. Now that gravitational field is remarkably good at breaking up and pushing away certain radioactive energies. So if you're traveling in one of those craft, well, the radiation is hugely reduced. So if you had one of those devices and you could put it in an Apollo spacecraft, then you certainly could go anywhere you wanted within reason, and that device would actually ameliorate or reduce the radiation. So it would be possible for traditional astronauts to go in traditional Apollo craft to go to these places, because they would have advanced technology which would mean that they would be able to do that. If you're traveling in alien spacecraft or back engineered spacecraft, then of course you can travel to other locations, because the magnetic drive of that craft prevents that radiation poisoning. What we've noticed, I think, over the last few years is an understanding of how that technology has made its way into more traditional aircraft, so that the B-2 stealth bomber, which now is not anything new or secret, but what is secret is the fact that it has a device inside it which reduces its effective mass by between 15% and 20%. This means that the engines that power it are more efficient. Well, the engines aren't more efficient, but its efficiency is produced. It can stay up longer, maybe it can go a bit faster, but certainly it's about its duration. That's what's really important. So there are these anti-gravity devices which exist and have been brought into the 3D world, if you like. They're not just a preserve of alien spacecraft. And so with that sort of device, it would be possible. And finally, just the extra addition to this would be, if you think of the vast majority of the stereotypical grey aliens that do not contain a soul, and they're called biological bodies or these artificial life forms, that's what they were created for: to be able to travel through space, to be hugely bathed by radiation, but to suffer no ill effects. So that was the point of them, that they could pilot spacecraft and be out for years. They don't age in that sense of the word. They don't die. They're not subject to the vagaries of radiation or electromagnetic energy. They have no soul in the body. they are a perfect space pilot. So if you have those in craft that from time to time are put into difficult situations, that's why those particular beings, if that's the right word for them, because they don't really live, but those particular hive-minded creatures are capable of piloting craft everywhere and anywhere, which a human, you know, would have to think twice about. So it's a really good question. I've done my best to answer it. I did this answer last time. Of course, we've been lost. I hope this answer is as good as or better as the one that I gave before. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Is it also possible to get to their places on Mars and the Moon via portals?
We had all the talk about jump chairs or portals. My understanding is it is possible. The difficulty is that most of these portals now are being watched or blocked, because obviously if you have a portal between two locations, why would you want to get in a spacecraft? You wouldn't need to, unless the portal was limited in size and you couldn't take a lot of equipment through. So both opportunities are there. It is possible through time and space to open a limited portal. You need the chair from a pilot spacecraft, so in other words, an alien, a real alien, not a back engineered, a real alien spacecraft, and the pilot's chair, which is what the Montauk project was all about. It's what the jump chairs were all about. It's about these of all the seats in an alien spacecraft, there's only one that actually controls time and space, if you like. There's only one that can do it all, and that's the pilot. And the pilot must have a soul in his or predominantly her body. All the other crew members don't have to have a soul in a grey spacecraft, for instance. So it's the pilot's chair, which is the one that when you connect to it, you actually connect to the artificial intelligence that controls that craft, which then allows you to, as long as you've got not an unlimited power source, but you need a very useful power source, a nuclear power source, then these things are possible. So yes, portals are possible, but we have to remember that there's been a lot of chicanery being played. In other words, there are people who believed they've been to Mars, they believe they've been through a portal, but they've been tricked. And I don't understand the games being played there, but I know for a fact that in some instances, people are led to believe they've been to Mars and they've had an experience on Mars, and in fact, they haven't. And this is predominantly where elite military, human military are involved. So all I can say is absolutely there are portals that travel you, but if you want to move large amounts of material, so you can build or construct a shelter, a base, you are going to have to do it through transportation of materials or building materials out there. You can't do that through a portal. But you could get the individuals, a few people through at a time, yes. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Ronnie says, I was involved with an ascension group in Australia and Indonesia. Our leader informed us that God had recently opened a pathway to Source in the last few years. To be able to return to Source, God wants these souls to be light, to have let go of their baggage and are one with the love and light. I think this is near impossible mission by design, so we continue to be trapped in the matrix. That is why I'm not interested to play this game now. I understand the greater universe beyond the matrix is full of possibilities and do not have a set objective such as love and light, like in our universe. Is this true, and how can we be sure we are going to be able to leave the matrix?
Well, I think all people have the potential and are connected to Source. I think it's inaccurate to say that people have lost that connection to Source. I think people have lost the belief in their connection to Source. Vast majority of people are not aware of it. You know, for them, religion is the Bible or the Quran. It's some physical object, a church, a cathedral. It's something that they focus on physically, and that's the problem, because they're not looking at themselves or the creation. But all people are connected to Source. The question is whether you can connect with that and you can join with that. God and Source should be the same thing. The word God is a name that we use given to us by religion. People prefer the word source. I know alien creatures prefer the word the great creator. They don't use the word God, but we use the word God, and it's very common here. But if we think of what we're actually saying, God and source, according to that, separate. That sounds like there's an entity figure which is opening or closing a channel to source. That sounds to me like manipulation. As far as I'm concerned, source is the great creational force, neither male nor female, and that is connected to all humans if those humans seek to, you know, believe in that connection. So that's my first answer to that. Please, the next bit. Well, I'm glad to be back again with you. What we've had is a number of instances where, again, this is the second day now, we lost something like 35 minutes from the recording of yesterday. We've done it all again, only to find that something's happened and the machine has just literally turned itself off without telling us. So all the 45 minutes that Becky and I have just done today recording, that's been affected. So I'm afraid you've got a very chopped up show this week, and that's simply because something is interfering with our ability to do this recording, and has affected it. So I'm really truly sorry. We did try to do it right. We did another 45 minutes to cover it, but that has then been affected, and that's been lost. We've got, I think, 17 minutes recorded. All the rest, 30 odd plus minutes, have been lost again. There's no point in me redoing it again, because I think they'll just go in and cut it again. So we need to put a little bit of distance and get our technician to try and understand what's going on here, and we will do a longer show for the next one to try to make up for this. But we are being interfered with. I do not believe this is coincidence. It's just ridiculous. Somebody doesn't like me talking at the moment. It's funny, we've had weeks and weeks where we've had no problems at all, and now suddenly the heat's back on and we're being interfered with. So thank you very much for your patience. It is incredibly frustrating, but we have to keep going. So let's hope that this piece has been recorded anyway. Thank you. We'll be right back.